This morning, though, we talk about God and His goodness. Let's take a look and see how good God is, and remember even today how good He is to us. This morning, I'm going to be focusing in Exodus. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse number 7. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your blessings in this life. Lord, thank you for being with us in everything and giving us reason for hope no matter what we face in this world. Father, you are good, and you have loved us more than we have deserved. And we praise you, and we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So I love this passage as we began to talk about God and His love and His caring for His people. You see, the heart of God being displayed for us in these verses that we've read. But let's talk about how all of this is started. Moses is tending the sheep, tending the flock. He's out in the desert, and he sees a light. It's a fire. It's burning. He sees that the bush is on fire, but the bush is not being consumed by the fire. And he says to himself, I've got to go see this. How many of you have ever seen a burning bush that didn't consume under the heat of the fire? Nobody? If you saw one, would you go see it? Or would you say, I've heard about this, I'm not going anywhere near that thing? Moses wanted to know what it was. This was interesting to Moses. It would be interesting to me to see a bush that was burning and not being consumed. I would say something like, hey, let's go look at that. And I'd be on my way. Moses, he was on his way, and as he was approaching this burning bush, God spoke to him and called to him by name. Moses, Moses. Told him, said, don't come near here. Take your sandals off. This is holy ground. And God began to have a conversation with Moses. And you know, he does the same thing with us today, doesn't he? Doesn't he talk to us? You ever heard God call you by name? I hope that you have, because he calls us each by name. If he's calling us into salvation through his Son, he's calling us by name. It's an open invitation to all of us. And he is calling Moses. Moses had interest to see what was going on. God recognized that Moses had interest in him. He called him by name and then began to give him directions immediately. Now, I want you to understand, if you come to God, he's got instructions for you right off the bat. You know what the first thing he's going to tell you to do? Be mindful that I am holy, because God is holy. And in our world today, we need to be reminded that God is a holy God. God needs to be remembered as a holy God. God is not someone that we can mock, and we can't just go about doing whatever we feel is okay, because God even tells us in Scripture, He will not be mocked. And there will always be a price to pay when we mock God. So we have to be careful. He's always going to have instructions for us in life, but He's also going to show us His heart for us. in life. And he opens up with Moses. And it's really wonderful because we see that beginning in verse 7. I have surely seen the oppression of my people, and I have heard their cries. Now, you know, they had been in slavery for hundreds of years. Abraham was promised that his seed would grow into a great people and that they would inherit a great land. And somewhere along the line, God forgot to mention to Abraham that it would include slavery for a few hundred years. It wasn't that God had abandoned Abraham or his promise, but God was working through the hearts of men in the world. You know, God has to work through all of us, doesn't he? Those who want to be a part of the plan and those who are going to fight against what the plan is. But God's will is going to be done, and we all have to trust God to get us there. But you know, the people in Israel are like us in our day. Sometimes we think God has just totally forgotten us. We have been abandoned. And I know that you have felt that way. I don't have to ask for a testimony. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. People have come to me and said, I don't know what to think about this. Has God forgotten me? God never forgets you. God always knows his people. He always knows your insecurities and your problems and your worries and your concerns. God is always there. He will always be there. But this is what we forget, that he's in control and getting us through. I imagine that the people of Israel as slaves for hundreds of years were pretty upset. They still had hope in God because, you know, you've always got those that are standing strong, fighting with their family. Don't give up hope. You can't give up hope. God's with us. God's going to come and take care of us. He's going to provide a way. And generation after generation after generation, and God is now showing it's time. And he's beginning to reveal this to Moses. He says, I have seen and I have heard and I plan to do something about it. And he does the same with us every day. I have seen and I have heard, Joel, what your concerns are. I'm working on that for you. How many of you ever accept that that's a truth for you in life, that God's working on the needs in your life every day? Or do you just think he's given up? God doesn't give up. We're the ones that give up. We forget and we don't hold on to our faith. But God always sees, God always hears, he always knows. He said he had seen the oppression of his people. That means God is paying attention to his people. I have heard their cries. That means God is listening to his people. And I have seen their oppression. And that means God is looking at those surrounding his people. There's not anything happening in your life that God is not aware of. There's nothing happening in your life that God can't take care of. And if it's broken in your estimation, God can get it fixed for you. If it needs to be fixed, God will fix it. If it needs to be healed, God will heal it. But God is there, and he always will be. But I want you to hear these words, I have seen. I have seen. God has shown us in Scripture where he has seen the actions of people on many occasions. In this instance, he's talking about the oppression of his people. He has seen the oppression and he's about to take action to rescue his people. We know that rescue is coming. We can look back and see it. He is going to send Moses, and Moses is going to do as God directs him. He's going to lead the people out eventually. Rescue is coming. But with that rescue means that there is also judgment coming. Because those who are the taskmasters must be judged, must be accounted for, given account. Things are going to have to happen. God said once before, I will go down and see if the cries that have come up before me are true or not. He was talking to Abraham. He was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I will go and I will see if the things coming up to me are true. And God went into Sodom and Gomorrah and ended up destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because he saw the wickedness of the people. And God is looking at the oppression of his people in Egypt, and he says, it's time for me to do something about it. I see it and I hear it. I see it and I hear it. I want you to hear something else that is shared within Scripture. How many of you ever heard of the book of Proverbs? You can find some wonderful, wonderful teaching in the book of Proverbs. And if you're looking for one verse to mark in Proverbs, just go ahead and mark them all. But highlight this one too, okay? Because this is a wonderful verse. And if you don't catch any other verse beyond the main verse that I'm talking about, mark this one and remember this one. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 22, you find these words. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The blessings of the Lord in your life will make you rich, and with that abundance, there's no sorrow added to it. But the taskmasters of this world, of those that are over us in our jobs or in the workplace or in the government, taskmasters among those can put burdens on the people that are almost unbearable. The taskmasters in Egypt had the Jewish people in oppression for hundreds of years and were brutally mean to them. You even can see another place in Scripture where God says that those who are over the Jewish people, even among themselves, they won't even let the dust settle on their heads because they won't even that. They can't even keep a pair of sandals. Because those who have want more, heaped upon more, heaped upon more. And the burden of all of that they are acquiring is on the shoulders of those who must work to provide it. That's not the kind of burden that you want in life. But God blesses his people with a richness that comes with no sorrows added to it. I'm not saying you can have anything you want in the world. Look, how many of you have ever experienced debt? Nobody, yeah. That's amen. You understand when you've experienced debt that there are bills to be paid. You got to work, you got to pay. You got to work, you got to pay. And in our world, you know how easy they make it for people to just add debt upon debt upon debt upon debt. Until you're so suppressed under debt, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get out from under it. Because they want more. It looks like they want you to have more, but all they are doing is burying you in debt. They're the ones that really has everything, right? And you are carrying the load for it. You're building pyramids, not for you, but for someone else. You're having to stomp out those bricks in the heat of the day, every day, for someone else. You're paying the cost for not making payments on time to someone else. But the goodness of God, The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he does not add any sorrow to it. In this world, taskmasters will put burdens upon us. You know the greatest taskmaster in this world? Satan. How many times has he added that load of bricks that are titled one sin after another that you've had in your life? But that's the old you. And he keeps bringing them and throwing them back in that bag you're carrying on your shoulders because you keep wanting to remember that and how God couldn't love you. You're in a moment of being fragile in your life, and Satan says, let me tell you what you forgot. You're just looking at what's happening right now and you're feeling a little down and like God's abandoned you. Let me remind you who you were, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. How could God love you? How did you ever get to a point in your life where you thought God loved you? And even if he did for a moment, why, with who you are, would he keep loving you? You ever feel that way? Because Satan's good at making people feel that way. Adding that burden. But let me tell you, God has saved you. God has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He has forgiven you. And if anything is forgotten, it is the old man and the sins that have been washed away. Those are the things that are gone. Why do we hold on to them? We just like to make it hard on God. Can I share a little funny with you? When I was up in the mountains recently, my cousin there, his mom is still alive. That's a blessing, 98 years old. And the children will spend every day of the week with her, rotating, four children. And the one night we were all gathering to have Christmas dinner together, one of them showed up late, and I was talking with her. And she was talking about her conversation with her mom as she was putting her to bed. And her mom said, I'm so sorry, I'm such a burden on you. And she told her mom, you're not really a burden, Mom. And Mom responded, I could be if I wanted to be. You see, aren't we like that with God sometimes? We're having that loving moment and that relationship with God, and he says, oh, you're not a burden. And you say, well, I can be if I want to be. And then we act out and we do what we're going to do, and then we feel like God has abandoned us. He's forgotten us. God sees, God hears, and God knows our oppressions. But he's not going to forget his people. He has already given us a hope that should not ever be extinguished by anything. Maybe we just need to rekindle that fire in our hope that is Christ. Because God is still looking at his people today in this world. And he is still trying to find ways to save his people, to rescue his people. He began to show Moses his mission. He said, I have seen and I have heard, and I'm going to send you to bring them out. God is always about saving his people. His people are always scattered among those who will not be his people. And judgment's going to come. The Egyptians were never going to be God's people. They sure didn't mind putting the thumb on those who were, though. But God came, and he rescued them, and judgment also came for those who were the oppressors. God has a mission today in this world through his Son, a light that shines for all the world to see and to hear, for people to see and say, what is this wonderful thing? I need to find out what that is. And as you come close, he speaks to you and he says, come and let's sit down and talk for a while. He will remind you who he is through Scripture, that he is still holy and just and righteous. And he still has a mission in this world to rescue his people, those of us today who have that hope and that great light that has been revealed to us, Jesus Christ. We need to go and to see. He said in verse 8, I have come down to deliver them and to bring them up to a land that is flowing in milk and honey. And God is calling people today to a land, not this world, to a land that is not our home in this world, but to a place that is yet to come, flowing with milk and honey. But even in this world, our hope secured in Jesus Christ can make the milk and the honey be as real as it ever can be. Once we know the forgiveness of sins, we recognize who we were and find salvation and forgiveness and begin that new life in that new hope. We look back at the old man sometimes and think, how did I ever? Why would I ever? But some people, their burdens are really great. Some people have addictions that are so bad, it is a true struggle in their life. They still need to be reminded. If the casual person over here is not struggling so bad, is having a hard time walking in faith and hope and keeping that joy alive, what about these that are struggling in such pain and anguish? Not just because of who they were, but because of what their body is demanding that they still be. Who helps them? Well, if you've seen the light of Jesus Christ, it might be you. Let me remind you what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? God saw and heard the oppression of the people in Egypt. God has always seen and heard the oppression of his people from the beginning through the end. He sent Moses to his people in Egypt. He sent Christ to all of us. The greatest of all the lights that shine, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light of life. He sent that light for us. And if we have ever saw the glimmering of that light and stopped to see what it was, and to hear the calling of God, he would have told you, I have seen, and I have heard, and I am here to save you. But somewhere in there, you would also hear this, go and tell. Go and tell. You see, the thing with churches is sometimes we forget the go and tell. We have signs out there. We put it on the sign. We say, come in here. But God said, go and tell. It's not a come in here thing. It's a go and tell thing. It's okay to invite, though. Make sure the light's on when you turn the sign on out there so people can see the light, have interest, and come, right? But don't forget to go and tell. God has sent us as messengers to the world, that Jesus is here to save us. He's here to love us. He has seen and he has heard and he has come to rescue you. and all who will come. But how will they hear? How will they believe if no one is telling them? If no one is telling them. I'm talking to you about the priesthood of the believer now. You have a testimony. You have a message that is Jesus Christ. You have a hope that needs to be shared. You have a life of hope that people need to see, that shines the light of Jesus Christ. Make sure your light is shining so they see. And give them opportunity to ask so they can hear, so they can believe. God has seen, God has heard, and God has sent. Are we doing what we're supposed to do as believers? Are we doing enough? Are we being what God wants us to be? That's a walk for each of us to take. And that's our own individual conversations with God. With God's prompting you. Say yes, sir, and move on and do it. But if he's prompting you to come and to find salvation, take that step too. And if God is calling you today, don't turn away from the light that shines. Because I can't tell you how long the light is going to continue to shine for this world. Because God sees and God hears and God knows. And he has said he will come back. What will he bring with him when he comes back the next time? Be ready for him. Be forgiven through his son, Jesus. Find that salvation today while the light is still shining and the altar is still open. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for the blessings of having seen and having heard. Lord, I thank you that I have recognized you and your love. And Lord, that you have recognized my willingness to have it and to share it. Lord, I pray it is so for all of us that we are willing to see and to receive it and to share it. Lord, if there is one that does not know you today, I pray, Father, that you will touch them and heal them through forgiveness that comes with faith in you. And I lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?